The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2011 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2011. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the Internet. If you would like to find out more about the work of ACCS, please visit our website at www.accsedu.org. To order additional talks from this conference, please visit the ACCS website and click on Conferences. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Just because the emancipation of slavery took place after the Enlightenment does not mean that the Enlightenment caused the emancipation. Apart from this, though, I would also direct any possible opponents to look to the great leaders of the abolitionist movement. These men include some of the most devout Christian leaders of their time, men such as Charles Spurgeon, William Wilberforce, John Wesley, Abraham Lincoln, and many, many others. Just because the emancipation of slaves took place after the Enlightenment, it is not true that the Enlightenment was what caused the abolitionist movement. We can see this not only because of its fallacy, but also because the greatest leaders of the abolitionist movement were some of the greatest Christian thinkers and scholars in their time. Another possible argument against my thesis could be that if classical freedom was prevalent in both Christian and pagan societies, then Christianity must not be the only culture in which we can find true freedom. I would have to point out that Christianity provides true freedom because it removed the pagan social hierarchy. The pagans believed in the same classical freedom, but that freedom was different for each rank of man. The amount of freedom that the patricians had was much different than that of the plebeians, and the amount of freedom that the plebeians had was much greater than that of the slaves. By removing this hierarchy, Christianity made freedom itself free, allowing for all men and all women to have the privilege of becoming who God meant for them to be. Also within Christianity is the belief that there is no more death. This destruction of death truly sets men free. Pagan religions were consumed with the tragic, with things of sadness, disease, and death. The imperfections of this world resulted in a desire to be free from the world itself and to live as purely spiritual beings. Christianity, however, allows for freedom in and of this world. We as Christians are free from sin and death and the darkness of this world, are set free both physically and spiritually. The pagan sense of the spiritual world would not have allowed for this freedom to properly exist. I would also once again remind us that true freedom allows us to become what we were created to be. We were created for the freedom that Christianity provides us. Christianity restores the order of the garden, where sin had no rule and death had no place. We were made for the garden. We were made for the kingdom of God. We were made for eternal life. It is Christianity, and Christianity alone, that in which we can find eternal life, and which can bring us into the kingdom of glory. As we have seen, the modern world does not free us so much as it constricts us. We have seen that by removing laws, modern-day freedom removes the very societies and boundaries that can allow us to become who we were meant to be. We have also seen that the true freedom that we long for is found fully in Christianity, where man can become who God created him to be. So now that we know where to find this true freedom, how can we claim it? We claim it when we die to self and live to righteousness. We claim it when we are set free from the chains of sin. We claim it when we are covered with the blood of Jesus. We claim it when our Christianity is authentic, when we live a life of Christianity. We claim it when our Christianity becomes a culture. And after we have been given and found this true freedom, we are then free to go throughout the world and spread our culture to the farthest ends of the earth, so that all men may be truly free. Return with me to the secret garden, if you would. After Mary has shown Colin what a life of true freedom looks like, he begins to desire this life for himself. Colin allows Mary to take him outside of his bedroom and into the secret garden that she has found. It is only when his self-inflicted lies and misery are replaced with vine-covered walls and grassy fields that Colin gets up from his wheelchair, becomes to be the boy that God created him to be. we leave Colin and Mary reveling in the beauty of the garden, in the beauty of life, free to run and play or just to lie in the grass, both becoming more and more like their Creator. This is what true freedom does. It sets us free from our sins, from the chains of lies, shows us truth, and gives us the freedom to seek to become imitators of Christ. Thank you.
I get the first things first. We are presenting Kelly with a certificate of achievement that says she's the champion of the 2011 Chrysostom Oratorical Contest. So, Kelly, congratulations, or best wishes, and well done. And also, the winner receives an award of $1,000. So thank you for your very diligent labors.
Thank you.
And thanks again for serving ACCS with your presentation. Thank you.